Deuteronomy chapter 5 is our first verse that we're going to read. What first passage? Should be a familiar one. It's a repetition of from the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. But this is given just before Israel went into the Promised Land and in the final year of Moses' life. Verse 16 says, "Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you." Then you flip over, please, to the book of Psalms, Psalm 68. I was raised in the Lutheran church, and it was not uncommon for us to have an Old Testament reading, a New Testament reading, a reading from the Psalms. I feel a little liturgical today. So Psalm 68, look at verse 4. "Sing to God, sing praise to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. His name is the Lord, and rejoice before him. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lowly in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land." And then the last one in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Epistle written by the Apostle Paul. I want to read verses 10 through 12. Yeah, I like listening to the rustling of the pages. I'm assuming it's the Bible I'm hearing, right? You know, we may put it up on the screen to help you out, but it's nice to have your own Bibles and get yourself familiar with them. Verse 10 through 12. "You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory." I am going to ask my son David if you would pray for your dad as he preaches the word today. Amen. Thank you, son. You may be seated. Normally, I don't preach on Father's Day. Not because I'm protesting it, not because I'm against it. I am a dad, and I believe it's important. But I went back and checked, and over the last 15 years, I have only preached on Father's Day 4 times. That's because usually we have guests from the congregation share things that they learn from their dads or give testimonies to their dads, or we do skits or dramas or guest speakers. So it's unusual for me to actually be preaching here on Father's Day. It's even more unusual for me to actually preach a message specifically geared to Father's Day. Not that I don't mention it in passing. Last year, for example, we were doing the New Testament challenge. We were preaching through the entire New Testament, and we were in the book of Romans. And for that message on Father's Day, I preached from Romans chapter 4 about following in Daddy's footsteps. But I wasn't talking about our earthly dad, but our spiritual dad, Abraham, father of faith. Then a few years before that, I preached from the Gospel of Luke. We were doing a series through Luke and talked about, again, the way Daddy does it, our Heavenly Father. So I've only actually preached a Father's Day message once in the last 15 years that was specifically geared to Father's Day, which is probably why the Lord really impressed upon me, you need to do that today. Because in a way, what I've done unintentionally, our culture is doing intentionally. We're setting up a scenario where honoring dads become, it's a dispensable thing. Dads in our culture are becoming throwaways. They're becoming unnecessary. They're sort of like vestiges or appendages from a bygone era. Now, that didn't always used to be the case. In America, we used to really praise fatherhood. How many of you are old enough to remember the TV show, Father Knows Best? Dads used to be honored as being sources of wisdom and strength and counsel. Something changed in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. We got racist bigot Archie Bunker, meathead. Or we got bumbling fools like Alice Keaton's dad in Family Ties or Tim the Tool Man Taylor from Home Improvement. Guys that couldn't see straight or do something straight. They were actually just the butt of jokes. The real heroes are the children that you know, they have all the wisdom and they finally, by the end of the episode, get their parent to realize, wow, I was really stupid and you're so smart. Now, it's not that there's never been anything good about dads in entertainment. Some of you remember the animated movie, Finding Nemo? That portrayed dads in a pretty good way, that here's a dad who was willing to sacrifice everything to get his kid back. But by and large, our culture and the entertainment world has set this up that dads are bumblers, fools, racists, bigots, abusers, but certainly not godly, strong, healthy, compassionate dads. Lately, we've gotten to the point where dads aren't even to be found. Now, I didn't see the movie, but I heard about it, the movie The Kids Are All Right, about two children raised in a home with two lesbian mothers. Dad isn't even present. He's just the sperm donor. And what has been the consequence? What have been the results of eliminating dad from our family? Anyone think they've been positive? Psychology Today, a number of years ago, wrote an article called Father Absence, Father Deficit, Father Hunger, The Vital Importance of Paternal Presence in Children's Lives. And what they discovered is that, give her a chance to pop in there, that 71% of high school dropouts, 71% of high school dropouts are fatherless. 71%. 85% of youth in prison have an absent father. Children's diminished self-concept, compromised physical and emotional security are all part of it. Behavioral problems, fatherless children have more difficulties with social adjustment. Greater truancy, poor academic performance, delinquency, youth crime, promiscuity and teen pregnancy, drug and alcohol abuse, homelessness. 90% of runaway children have an absent father. Physical health problems, mental health disorders are higher. Chances for a successful life are less. Future relationships are impacted. And believe it or not, fatherless children are more likely to die as children and live an average of 4 years less over the lifespan. Wow. You mean dads actually, rather than being unnecessary and dispensable, are actually very important and indispensable? Yeah. So serious is the crisis of fatherless homes that in 2001, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, under then President Bush, launched what they called the Fatherhood Initiative. Quote, "The president is determined to make committed, responsible fatherhood a national priority. The presence of two committed, involved parents contributes directly to better school performance, reduced substance abuse, less crime and delinquency, fewer emotional and other behavioral problems, less risk of abuse or neglect, and lower risk of teen suicide. The research is clear. Fathers factor significantly in the lives of their children. There is simply no substitute for the love, involvement, and commitment of a responsible father." Now, we've taken a look in terms of just in the natural realm that some people in government are starting to figure out, wow, we can't keep doing this. But the effect on a fatherless home for spiritual life is even greater. They did a survey in 1994, so it's a little bit antiquated, but the Swiss did this. They carried out a survey in 1994. The results were printed in 2000. And the question was asked to determine whether a person's religion carried through to the next generation, and if so, why, or if not, why not? The result is dynamite. Listen to this. There is one critical factor. It is overwhelming, and it is this. Quote, "It is the religious practice of the father of the family that above all determines the future attendance at or absence from church of the children," unquote. In short, if a father does not go to church, no matter how faithful his wife's devotions are, only one child in 50 will become a regular worshiper. This was in Switzerland. If a father does go regularly, goers. I'm going to give that to you again. If a father, this is what their survey showed, if a father does not go to church, no matter how faithful his wife's devotions, only one child in 50 will become a regular worshiper. If a father does go regularly, regardless of the practice of the mother, between 2/3 and 3/4 of their children will become churchgoers. A non-practicing mother with a regular father will see a minimum of 2/3 of their children end up in church. In contrast, a non-practicing father with a regular mother will see 2/3 of their children never darken the church door. Dads, you are important. When God gave the command that Moses gave to the people to honor the father and mother in Deuteronomy chapter 5, it wasn't a joke. It wasn't just a throwaway. God knows how important the father is in the home. Moms are too, so I'm not speaking against moms, but today's Father's Day, not Mother's Day. So I want to encourage you dads. I know that you're getting signals from the society that emasculate you, that feminize you, that make you dispensable, but I want you to stick your chest out a little bit and raise your head. You are indispensable to your family. You are indispensable. Now, we can look at all the positive things that we just, you know, as the opposite of those negatives, but I want to focus this morning on a few things that I have found that are absolutely critical in the spiritual realm for the role of a dad. The first one is this. Dads are the avenue to the Heavenly Father. This is a car. Pastor, do you need a new prescription for your glasses? It's not a car. No, this is a car. This is a refrigerator. Okay, somebody get him help, please. 911, 411, whatever he needs. Now, here's the deal. Why is this a chair? Because we've all agreed to call something like this a chair. It's the filter through which we see this object. We don't call it a car. We don't call that a refrigerator because we have, through experience and through design, and somebody along the way decided this is a chair. And therefore, we call it a chair. Now, we probably don't look up a dictionary definition. Gosh, I wonder what this is. I'll do Google Image and see what it is and see what it tells me that it is. We learned it was a chair. Probably because somewhere when we were teeny, one of our parents said to us, sit in the chair. Don't get out of the chair. Why are you falling out of the chair? Get back in the chair. And it became clear to us over time, that's probably a chair. When you're born and your mama's looking at you, mommy loves you. After a while, you figure out that mommy is probably the one feeding me right now, talking to me. How do you think kids learn language? They're exposed to it. Hello? Where do you think they get the image of father from? By being exposed to dads. What if dad is absent? Through death or divorce? Dad isn't present. How do they fill in the gap? Oh, they could see it from maybe a neighbor's dad, or maybe they could see it on television. Wow, that's going to give them a really clear biblical view of dads. Or sadly, maybe they have friends that have 4 dads and 3 moms because there's been so many multiple relationships. So where does this kid get a view of dad? From the experiences they have. And then you say to them, guess what? God is your heavenly father. Yeah. What if dad was abusive? What if dad was passive? What if dad didn't engage? Do you see where I'm going with this? Dads, we set the tone for how our children see God as a heavenly father. Whoa, that's a lot of weight. Yeah, it is. It is. But we have to understand, where do you think they're going to get that view? I shared Tuesday night about a young girl I knew 30 years ago, at least 30 years ago, 40 years ago. She had been molested by her dad, put into a foster home, molested by her foster father, put into another foster home, molested by that foster father. And by the time I met her, she was with a Christian foster father. How do you think her view of dads On the intellectual level, she may say, yes, God is my father. But what do you think is going on inside of her on the emotional level? So what if Dad was there and was gruff and rude, and no matter what you said, nothing would change his mind? Why pray? It's not going to make a difference. What if Dad was there physically but not emotionally? God doesn't care about me. He's there. Yeah, he made the universe, but he's not there for me. Do you see what happens, dads? We're the avenue. We are either the hindrance or the help to our children getting it. But Pastor, I'm not perfect. I got that. Remember, they're not supposed to stop with us. They're just supposed to go through us to the Heavenly Father where they cling and put their faith and trust. We're not going to get it perfect, but we better be able to deal with our imperfections in a way that let them know Father is safe. So when we blow it, how do we handle it? Do we come to our kids and go, hey, you know what? Dad blew that. I am sorry. Please forgive me. Now, God never blows it, but what they realize is everything we do will either help them see God or push them away from God. And so we want to live our lives not in our own ability, folks. Dads, we can't do this in our own strength. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can live a consistently adequate life so that our kids get a chance to see, so that's what God's like. They get a chance to see healthy love, healthy discipline. They get a chance to see all those qualities that we read about in Scripture about who God is. They get a chance to see it in a shadow form through us so that we don't get in the way, so they go past us to the Heavenly Father and they say, well, if God in heaven is anything like my dad, I can trust him with everything. That makes sense. We dads are an avenue to the Father in heaven. And we'll either have obstacles or we'll help them to be able to link to their Heavenly Father. A second thing that I see that happens with the role that we have as a godly dad is that we model for how a husband treats his wife. And that works both ways. That works for both sons and daughters. There are times in my home where I'll go and do some dishes and maybe Jonathan or Ben, they want to do something else. And I know Jonathan said to me, Dad, why are you doing that? Because I said, I want to bless my wife. You love her, don't you? And he makes this scrunchy face. He's this scrunchy face. They're learning. Now, I would love to tell you that I always get it right, and I don't. There are times my wife and I have intense fellowship where I need to then come back and humble myself and say, you know what? I'm sorry. Usually that's preceded by my wife saying to me, honey, you haven't prayed today, have you? Get out there and pray. Because she knows that when I come back, I'll be a little bit different than I was when I started. But here's the deal. As they watch me serve my wife, as they watch me bless my wife, those boys, because it's more often caught than taught, they're learning how a husband treats his wife. How he stays faithful to her, how he stays committed to her, how he loves her, how he praises her. It grosses them out when I talk about stuff. Man, mom is hot. Don't worry, I don't get beyond that. But just, you know, it's like, ooh, they're kissing in the kitchen. Yeah. Oh, he's hugging her again. Are you guys like making out? That was a little bit younger. We don't get gross. But what I'm saying here is they need to see how a husband treats his wife. They need to know that I love my wife and that I find her beautiful. And you know, let's face it, the older we get, the more gravity sinks in. And so they see how you love over the long haul. They see how you love with wrinkles. They see how you love with sags. They see how you love with the little lines. They see that love isn't just based on what you see externally. It's about who you are and a commitment you make to your spouse to love them as long as you both shall live, not as long as you both shall love. They see you do it over the long haul, and that teaches them. So that's what marriage is like. You love your wife as Christ loves the church. You lay down your life for your wife. You love her and you sacrifice for her. You pray with her, you hold her, you hug her. You do everything, and they get it. So that's how a man treats his mama, my mama. His wife. And the daughters get a chance to learn how they should be treated in a relationship. Dads are absolutely critical in the life of a young lady as she hits adolescence. Because as she goes from a little girl to a developing young woman, dads sometimes get uncomfortable with that. But that's the time more than ever that that daughter needs to know I am valued and loved, because they feel off. They're not yet growing into their body, and yet things are growing. And when they get that hug and they spend that time with daddy, what they learn is I'm okay. And if they learn they're okay in the home, then they don't look to the street to find out they're okay. If they know they're okay with daddy and daddy says, I love you no matter what, I'm with you, I believe in you, then they raise their head high and they say, I don't need ground beef that you're offering me. I got filet mignon telling me I'm good at home. I will save myself for a man who's saving himself for me. Does this make sense? So we set the stage on how we act. Our sons and our daughters watch that relationship and they learn and they grow into it and they say, all right, so that's what marriage is going to be. And we set them up to have healthy values and healthy expectations. They learn how we interact. I'm thankful I married a Spitfire. I'm dominant enough that if my wife were to Spitfire, I'd crush her. That's just who I am. And Jonathan will come to me, you know, she's a Spitfire, isn't she, Dad? You like that, don't you? I said, yeah, I do. I need the pushback. And there are times she'll go, no, I don't think so. Well, what do you mean? Yeah, sort of like that. But I like the fact that she'll fight back. And I don't mean, you know, punch, fight back. But in terms of fight back a position, because I don't see everything. I don't have 100% view. She sees things different than I do. And there are times what she sees is I missed. So they get a chance to see couples discuss and get intense. And you're not going to get divorced, are you? No, we're disagreeing. That happens in relationships. But then they get to see us make up. Well, not fully make up. Let's just stop there and move on to the next point. That would be a good thing to do. Last one is this. Whew, warm in here. It's going to go down in infamy. Godly dads supply the father's blessing. One of the greatest gifts that a dad can give to his kids is the blessing of a father. Abraham blessed his, Isaac blessed his, Jacob blessed his, Moses as a spiritual dad blessed Israel. There's something that happens with a blessing. See, sometimes dads don't bless their kids. Sometimes dads curse their kids. Oh, they don't mean to, maybe. They're just frustrated with them. And so they speak things like, you're never going to amount to anything. I wish you'd never been born. And all those death words get absorbed. What a difference when a dad can look his son in the eye and take him by the hand, look him in the eye and say, son, I love you and I am so proud of you. And I am thankful for the man you've become. I've shared the story, but I remember for me it happened when I was 20. It was the summer of 81. I was switching colleges and I had gone into college as a pre-med major, and I had switched over to biblical studies. I was changing schools to finish up. And in between, I had been asked to speak at our home church. It was my first official sermon at my home church. And you know, they wanted to see the local boy, you know, so everyone comes out to see the local boy. And I'm up there, and up until then, my dad had wanted me to go into medicine or law. He wanted me to get a professional degree. He didn't mind me going to pastoring, but he wasn't exactly super keen on it. He preferred the other items. But he was healthy enough as a dad to let me choose. But then I preached. Now, you got to know, my dad's old school. Old school means guys didn't cry. My dad comes up to me after I'd finished preaching and God had ministered at the altar, had a little tear right in the corner of his eye, grabs my hand, looks me in the eye. You have my blessing to go into pastoral ministry, son. You're going to be a pastor. Wow. I mean, we're talking 30 years ago. I still remember it like it was today, yesterday. He gave him that blessing. Some of you were robbed. You never got a father's blessing. Some of you are in homes where dad are gone. Is there no hope for you? Is it, well, you know, pastor, you read the statistics. I might as well say, take me home now, Jesus. Is there hope? Yeah, see, we're to honor our fathers and mothers, but if you look at that passage again in Psalm 68, who is a father to the fatherless? God said, I am a father to the fatherless. If I could speak for a moment, not to dads, I'll come back to you in a minute, but let me speak to those of you who don't have dads, whose dads are gone. Your dad may have died through no cause of his own. He may have chosen to divorce your mom. He may have chosen to abandon you. He may have chosen to walk out. And the statistics will tell you that your life just got harder when they did. But let me tell you that those are statistics that leave God out of the picture. Because God is a father to the fatherless. God supplies what your earthly dad may have failed to do. God can speak the Father's blessing over your life by His Holy Spirit. And the Father God who does this tends to use the body of Christ to father the fatherless. What did Paul say in 1 Thessalonians 2? He said, like a father, I did this, this, and this. Paul was a father to Timothy. When Timothy's dad failed to do anything spiritual, Paul stepped in and he said, I got no one like Timothy. He's my son in the faith. You see, kids, and even some of you who are adult kids of dads who are gone, you've lived your whole life with a father hunger. You've lived with this desire. I just wish God has given you the body of Christ. We're not going to pretend to be your father, but we can be father figures. We can be spiritual mentors. We can supply those words of affirmation, those words of encouragement. We can come alongside you and say, you know what? I believe that God has a call on your life. I believe that your destiny has not been robbed just because your dad chose to rob the family. That God has the last word, not your earthly dad. That God can speak life into your situation, and that God can be a father to the fatherless. So dads, while we're here, we do have a responsibility. If dad, you haven't walked out and you're here, maybe you've been absent, passive, maybe you've been negligent or whatever, let me tell you, you rise to the challenge. It's time for you dads to get challenged. It's time for me to be challenged. We don't want the bar so low that all we have to do is show up, donate our sperm, and get a paycheck. They need us as dads to be engaged. Our children need us as dads to be there for them, to speak life into them, to speak God's word to them, to be led by the Spirit, to bless them in the name of the Lord. And it's a challenge I rise to you because I believe this about men. When men stop hearing the message of the world that emasculates them and are given a challenge, men were created to rise to the challenge. Men were created to go for the high bar. They've been put down too much. They've been cast aside too much. But men are men, and we are wired for a challenge. We are wired to take out the dragon. And so I am challenging you, dads, to rise to the occasion. And if you haven't done it right to this point, you go to your kids and you ask them, please forgive me, and would you pray for me? Because the power of the Holy Spirit, I am going to be a dad that is worthy of honor so that you will be able to put your full faith and trust in a Heavenly Father who will never let you down. And if you're here and you don't have a dad, and you've got kids in the home that don't have a dad, there are guys around here that are more than willing to be father figures, to be spiritual mentors, to come alongside, and to let God be a father to the fatherless in your life. And to those of you who are adults now and never got the Father's blessing, there still is a blessing available. It won't come from your earthly dad. It'll come from your Heavenly Father, but it will be a word of blessing, of life and not death, of hope, not curse. Dispensable? No way. Dad's indispensable. Father, thank you. Thank you for the high calling that those of us who are here who are dads have. I pray for dads who are sitting here today and may feel like, wow, I haven't risen to that challenge. I blew it or whatever. Maybe you're feeling a little overwhelmed. Lord, I thank you they don't have to go one more day being ineffective. That starting today through the power of your Spirit, through the forgiveness that comes through Christ, they can have a brand new beginning. And it may take time to rebuild trust. For some kids, they've been so turned off for so long, it may take time to rebuild relationship. I pray that these dads would not give up after a day or two. Lord, I pray that the challenge was laid out with a bar high enough that they have to depend upon you to jump over it, but that they will rise to the occasion, take the challenge, and be a dad worthy of honor. I pray for kids in this congregation whose dads booked out for one reason or another, who lost part of their life, that, Lord, in faithfulness to your word, you will be a father to the fatherless. And that through the body of Christ, you will father these kids. So they'll be able to say, hey, you know what? My dad was there, but so-and-so, boy, I looked up to him. He cared about me. He loved me. And I wouldn't be where I was if he didn't show me Jesus and live out the life of the Heavenly Father to me. That, Lord, guys would catch that challenge to be those father figures and spiritual mentors. And I pray, Lord, for folks in this congregation who are adults now, who never got a father's blessing, never heard those words of a handshake and a look in the eye with a tear, hey, I believe in you. Lord, there's a missing piece there. Some are still little children inside adult bodies, still waiting and listening for that daddy blessing. They never moved forward. They never matured. Oh, physically they did, intellectually they did, but inside, emotionally, in their heart, they're still little kids, still with a father hunger. God, I pray in Jesus' name that the Father's blessing would come, that you would speak the blessing of wholeness and life, that they would begin to grow emotionally and catch up with where they are intellectually and physically, and that, Lord, they would be whole people, no longer looking back, but looking forward to what you have for them. Lord, speak the Father's blessing and use us, if you choose to, prophetically to speak that blessing, that word that should have been that never was. And that, Lord, you would use that blessing to free them up and to take them out of those places where they've been stuck, to move them into their destiny in Christ. And finally, Lord, I pray for those who have lost good dads, whose dads are gone because of old age or death or whatever, and they just miss dad today. I can identify. I pray for comfort from the Holy Spirit. For those of us who have dads that have gone on to glory, I thank you. They're there with you, but there's still a hole. And we pray for the comfort that only you can bring in those places, Lord. And for those, Lord, one last, just felt prompted, for those who've had dads that weren't good, dads that weren't healthy, and maybe there's some bitterness, some rage, and some unforgiveness, Lord, that you would lift that lid today, that they would begin vertically to realize how much you've forgiven them, and as bad as dad has been, it can't compare to what they've done to you, Lord, and you forgave them so that they could let go. They could get real and say, it hurt, but I'm going to trust Christ. I'm going to work through this and process, and I'm just going to trust you, Lord, so that the hurt and the anger that may have bound them up would be gone and the chains broken so they'd be set free, that they would know hope, healing, and wholeness in Christ. And it's in his name we pray. And everybody said, amen.